an AppleViz original.
Mike, yeah. But you?
I don't have either. No. Most of the stuff that I hear these days is like, oh no, is it being bad again?
Yeah.
Is it any better?
Yeah, well, now it is, but when it we is, asked you the question, all now. We heard was boop, 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 boop.
So have you heard of... Okay. It was like... Ding, 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 ding. I know. What's your opinion on that?
Alert, Randy Rusnak has left the meeting.
Oh, I win.
I was wondering it was so quiet on that side.
I know. It was weird.
And he got nothing about it. You got a poor hot spot that doesn't work with poop. And look at him.
Yeah, how's his civilization treating him?
Exactly. Wow. I hear something very, very faint. Oh, it's gone now. I don't know. I thought I heard something. There it is. Static. Static, static, static.
Wonderful.
You hear that bee?
No, I can't hear it.
It was a static. He's doing something. It's gone now. Oh well. Let me ask you. You like the simplicity?
What?
The simplicity? Okay. I didn't say that right, did I?
Simplicity or whatever.
Simplicity. Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to AppleViz Unleashed for January 2020. We're here in the back of the new year, and I got the guys back here. We got Mike Malarcy and Randy Rusnak. How are you both doing this month?
Let's not all talk at once.
Surviving? No, I'm afraid to talk now.
Just because we're here, is this the idea? Or
I blame the internet. Well, publicly, it's the internet that I'm blaming.
Okay.
Here.
Because
but I'm good.
You have moved to a new state, and you are, because they finally passed the bill that they want to get rid of you from your Utah yeah. state.
Actually, and we got forced out. He has one cell tower in the whole state.
He's on, his latency is really bad.
Fantastic.
So,
guys, it feels like, it legitimately feels like I have gone back in time to 1999.
Hmm.
Like wow. When they were just figuring out that they don't need a phone, but they're not really sure how to make it work good. That's how it is out here.
I'm not sure if I have a modem that we can connect up with.
Oh, man. I have some cool. I've got a sample rate of somebody's doing a song, pinging their modems, and it's just awesome. That's really something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, guys, I have to say it's great being back with you guys again.
Oh, that's right. You've been out for a couple months. You've been busy with the turkey and mm-hmm. opening presents. So you've been a busy boy.
Oh, I've been so busy, guys, at work and busy with holidays and everything. And I want to thank Robin, and I want to thank, oh my gosh, I can't remember the lady's name that you had on.
Oh, Serena.
Serena, of course, Serena. Okay. Serena, I do remember you if you're listening to this at all. I just couldn't place your name, but thanks everybody for filling in for us.
Of course. And then I really appreciate Robin and Serena jumping in. I was just giving you a hard time there.
Oh, yeah.
If you couldn't tell.
Yeah, okay. we all could. All so right. Let's get on with the show. Yeah,
that just hit the wall, didn't it? It just went.
Yes, it did.
Bring on the crickets. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about the other day. Before we move on, I was thinking, of course, I don't, this is bad. I keep thinking of Mike when I read these articles, and it's terrible. I have to stop associating Mike with this because they were talking about how to having another 117 emojis for this year. And I was like,
oh my God, really?
You literally have 117 more. But my favorite, Mike, was that in the state of Vermont, they were considering a legislature bill that they were wanting to pass to have emojis on license plates.
Yeah. So this is the thing.
I was thinking, my first one is going to be like a pile of poo. That's going to be on my license plate, just a pile of poo.
No, actually, Vermont, they will probably have like one of maple syrup and a little jug of maple, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, I was thinking of Mike's, you know, his little prong shrimp, you know, and his iPhone. Mm-hmm. He can put that on there that oops, way. But it can associate with them with an iPhone emoji.
Yeah.
I hate this.
I know.
What are we doing? Why?
Why? Well, because it's just because we can. And that, but you know, okay, we'll just move on here. We'll go with the Apple news here.
I'm imagining your license plate full of emojis and like somebody having to call the cops like, yeah, it's a poop. And then I think it's like the winky face, but then maybe the
winky face syrup.
Can you imagine trying to figure that out? It's like, what is that? Oh, yeah. And, you know, my kids, they'll translate it for me. You know, it's like the hieroglyphic who we talked about before. They'll say, well, Dad, it says iPhone lover. I said, oh, how did you get that out of this little thing? And so anyway, yes. So January is upon us, and it has been 10 years to this month that Mr. Steve Jobs went up on the stage and introduced something to all of us called a little thing called the iPad. Remember that? I remember that day when it came out. I thought it was just this big, oversized iPhone. That was my first thought. I said, how are you going to be able to call on that thing?
Yeah.
I remember, actually, I bought one for my mom like a couple months after they came out. I had no idea really what it was. I've never had an iPhone. I don't think I had owned anything Apple at that point.
I was going to ask you guys, so in the past 10 years, you bought one. Have you ever bought one for yourself?
Since then, yes. But the first one I bought was just for my mom, because that was not long after I got out of the hospital after getting injured and all that fun stuff. And she's spent months living, like basically being my assistant, trying to figure out how life was going to work. Mm-hmm. And just kind of as a thanks. And I didn't really know what else to do. Like, here's this cool new thing. I don't know what it is, but here you go.
That was a really nice gift. That way she could take care of you.
Yeah, it worked out.
Yeah.
And then she taught me how to use it, actually, when I figured out that they could talk.
Oh, wow. Well, I think I waited for a while. I got the iPad Air when it came out, and that was some years after that. So that was first when I first got it, and then I got the iPad Mini 2. Now I don't have any iPads, and be honest, I don't really miss it.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. I remember our first iPad that we got at work was the iPad 2 when they had the mic. I thought, great, it's got a mic. So I was talking to a few people, and I was really excited because in those days we used the competitor to this one called, what was it called again? Oh, Skype. And so I'd call my friends up. Sorry, they're Microsoft. Sorry about all that, my Microsoft friends out there. Skype. nobody believes that the iPad sounds as good as it does. Nobody will believe me unless I show them. So I thought they're never going to believe me anyway. So I called up this buddy of mine who was living in Virginia, actually Minnesota, which is quite a ways from here. So it started to ring, and I thought, God, I just can't resist this. So I crawled under my desk, and I laid down facing the wall just to prove my point. And it rang and answered, and this my friend. And I said, hi, Stan. How you doing? Oh, doing fine. How do I sound? Oh, you sound beautiful. Are you on the iPad too? And I go, yep. How does the mic sound? Oh, it sounds fantastic. Maybe a little hollow, but I hear you beautifully. Then, of course, people that were in the lab started laughing. They couldn't help themselves. And so I got up and I was like, how do I sound now? And he said, what did you do? I said, well, I got up off the floor underneath my desk. What were you doing down there? I said, oh, just playing a little game with you. The microphones on those things are just awesome, I thought. And I liked all the microphones on the iPads, but I just didn't get one because it's like, too much real estate for me.
You know, I get that. You know, I mean, I think Steve Jobs at the time was ahead of his time again. I think he was ahead of the curve with this thing. I mean, he blindsided Microsoft with this coming out of nowhere. And they thought at first they had a competitor, and really they really didn't, because, you know, at first we got this big large canvas, and then we had the keyboard with case on it, and we thought, oh my gosh, is it a little portable computer? And it really wasn't at the time, but I have to say, for the past 10 years it has matured quite a bit now that iPad OS by itself now, and then they Apple Pencil. I think it's got some, there's some great reasons behind it, but for us that are blind, I don't know. I think some of us out there could probably say, yes, I love it, but I think probably most of us was just saying, yeah, it's just nice, but it's just really big. I mean, I do better with my phone than I do with my iPad. Maybe I'm alone on that.
No, how do you do, because we have one at work. So how do you, do you enjoy texting on it, or do you verbally speak to the Siri, or what do you do? Yeah, sorry.
I verbally abuse Siri. Yes. Yeah. you mean on the iPad or the iPhone?
Yeah.
On the iPad, you know, it was kind of cool because nowadays, you know, you can do the side by side and you can actually use your keyboard to move around quite quickly and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has some cool factors to it, but it still isn't the computer that I'm wanting. You know, it's getting mm-hmm. closer and it's yep. cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was revolutionary because it came out with a suite of iWorks that came on the iPad. I think that was the biggest thing, was that all the iWorks suite that came on it. And I was like, whoa, wow, they got Keynotes. You got all this cool stuff that the Mac had. That was on my iPad. But honestly, I mean, you could do the same thing with your phone with the Bluetooth. That's just my two cents.
Yeah, no, I agree. But, you know, other people may disagree, and we don't want to hear from you.
Well, we do want to hear from you. I'd be curious if you use your iPad and if you really love the way it is. And I'm curious what you use it for. Would you like it better than the iPhone? So send me a little jingle at unleashed@applevis.com, and I'd like to hear from you about that.
Yeah. We're just kidding about the iPad, by the way. We think it's really cool, but just, you know, for us, we just use the iPhones and carry them around. And
And then to some numbers, and I know this is going to be the boring part. Here comes some numbers. Apple's mentioned some numbers this month. I thought, hey, this might be first something you'd like to hear about, but the grass is actually greener on the other side. Thank you, Randy, for that. Midnight Greener, to be a matter of fact, folks, they released the first quarter fiscal report, and it is the bomb. It was much bigger than most people even thought it was going to be. Even for Apple, they surprised themselves at $91.8 billion in revenue in the last quarter. That's the highest they've ever had in years. I mean, forever. That's the highest quarter, period. And I was like, wow. Because, give you an idea, last year was $84 billion. This is 91.8 billion dollars. Gosh dang. That, you guys think about it. That is $1 billion in revenue for every day of this quarter.
That's crazy.
That's crazy amounts of money.
And if to keep on the way they are, and some people think it's going to happen, you know, here we were talking about last year, we didn't know if they were going to make the $1 trillion mark last year. And I remember Mike and I said, oh yeah, they will. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this, Mike, this time around, some people are talking that they'll make $2 trillion by the end of 2020. You think they do?
Mm.
Put your little fortune teller out and put your crystal ball out. And what does this say to you?
I'm going to say...
Come on now.
Well, he had to think about this. This isn't just something that just dawned on us. I mean, really, man.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
No?
No. Nope.
Wow. Okay. Well, some people think it's going to make it. I think it'll be close. I think now they're around 1.5 trillion, just to let you know where they are.
So what equates this? It's all encompassing.
This is their stock value. So they take a look at the numbers of what the company is worth. So if somebody were to say, I want to buy you out, that this is the number, how they derive from it.
Well, I am going to declare that unless they change their iPhone, I'm going to get a lot of people mad at me. Unless they change their form factor, other phones, and unless they do something about their iOS 13 type issues moving forward, they are in big trouble.
I did not see that coming. I'll be honest. I did not see that coming from you.
Yeah.
Do you think the iOS will hamper them more than this coronavirus thing?
Well, I... A little bit of both, I guess, but yeah, I kind of do. Like, here comes some more maddening. I will not put it on certain phones for people that I know that they're going to have issues with even still today.
That's fair. Well, that's fair to say. It really is. And we'll be talking about that.
Oh, yes, we will.
Oh, yes, we will. We'll be talking about the 13.3.1 that came out. And but this fiscal year, I was surprised that the iPhone was strong enough that this was the biggest sales they had an iPhone in 2 years. So the iPhone did go up, which was shocking to all of us. So it was stronger than we anticipated. Oh, gosh,
yeah, yeah.
But not as strong as our wearable. My gosh. I mean, I could not find an AirPod anywhere during Christmas time. And rightfully so. It went up 40% year over year for this quarter from wearable. So it doesn't surprise me. And of course, the services was up 16%.
So do you find them to be a viable product? And do you think they're as good as some of the wearables out there today? Or do you find them better than you thought they might be?
Well, honestly, for me, I thought when I heard Amazon coming out with their own Buzz and everybody came out. I mean, everybody in the woodwork came out with their own AirPods, copycat. But honestly, I haven't seen any one of them nearly as good as the AirPod Pro still.
What about that one knockoff that they did it for like $80? You heard about that one, right?
I did.
Can't remember the name. Sorry, but
you still don't have the quality. When it comes to it being designed for your iPhone, I mean, it's just like, wow, it works together so seamless. And but the quality that they put into it, I mean, look, I mean, last year we were talking about Jabber that you thought was just as good, if not better than AirPod Pro or the AirPod. Last year, and you kind of don't think that was quite the same, right?
Yep.
So for your own experience, I mean, you found the same thing. I mean, I can say that for the MacBook too. I mean, there's a MacBook that's just incredibly awesome product. Their quality, it's just they're getting pricey. Everything's getting really pricey. And I think we said it over and over and over is that they're so good. We don't have to get one every year. It's that good. And I think we can wait. And I think that it finally has caught up with some people. It's been 2-3 years, and so they had to get something at 10 or 11. I think that's why we're seeing that. Mm-hmm. And I think the next 2 years, we're going to see some really cool stuff that's going to be coming out on the phone that we never seen before.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And that's why I kind of alluded to that. I was kind of kidding, but I think the form factor and the a lot of things that are well, – I think this year we're really going to be looking forward to some really cool stuff.
I think so, too.
And all the talk that I was talking about Android a little while ago, I for those of you, I just haven't switched yet. And I really don't think I want to yet because I think there's something really cool coming.
Yeah, but you're right, though. I mean, you alluded to the fact with the iOS 13 being a hit. And ouch. I think that it can be for, let's just say, the low vision and blind community. I think so. I don't think it's so much for sighted people. I haven't heard them complain as much as we have. I think it's been painful for us in general with the bugs. But other than that, the number it's just bonkers. I mean, the App Store, they made a report on it, made $54.2 billion just in App Store revenue. Wow. And I was thinking, wow, that's like over $1 billion per week revenue on App Store. And It's just insane to think about that. And
so we're going to play a little guessing game here, Thomas. Yes. So the guessing game is what feature do you think that I shut off when I'm teaching clients that are new to 13 and they're having issues? Any guesses what I turned off and they were happy about it?
I'm going to guess QuickTap.
Siri.
I just turn off that stupid thing.
Just get rid of it.
I don't want it. I don't want that thing talking to me.
As much as that's funny, it really wants me to think that way. No, Tom, you got it. Oh my gosh, and people are annoyed with that thing.
I think it's just too quick. I think if they had slowed it down to 2 to 3 seconds.
Well, I've shown them that, and they know I want that gone. Yeah. And it was your demonstration that made me think, yeah, let's slow it down for the clients. And I did that. No, I want it gone.
Wow. It's that subtle. It's just either on or off. It's no in between.
Right. Yep, for the people that I work with.
That doesn't surprise me. It really doesn't.
Nor are they using that other app that I really shouldn't mention, that one that will use your fingers to type with. I they don't want that either. So I don't, yeah. And I don't want to mention names because I feel bad about that.
We're not doing the name game here, are we?
No, no, no.
What would that be, Mike?
I don't know.
No. The name game. Because their heart, they really work hard at what they do, but oh my gosh.
I understand. Some of the downfalls that we didn't discuss and we'll move on is that, you know, they obviously they didn't talk much about the Mac or the iPad, which is, you know, we were just talking about the iPad and it's down. It's down, what, 12-16% down from year over year. So it's just keep going down and down. Yep. I just don't think people are using the iPad like they thought they were. And that's okay. And there was obviously no mention about the Apple TV Plus. I was kind of surprised because if I figured if it was Game Buster, they'd be talking about it. But I think they're in a quandary because, you know, if you bought any products, it was free. I don't think they have an actual number of how many people really pay for it, or they're just too embarrassed to say it. But I've heard there are over 30 million people subscribers, but we don't know how many actually pay for it. Like myself is for free.
Right, right.
I wonder if maybe they're waiting for like the next big announcement that they do and they can say it's made this much since it launched or something like that and kind of be a little more obscure about.
Yeah, well, you would think they would do that by now. I mean, it's been, what, 2 months? And so
they got to let that free year. I guess if anything, they would have said we've had X amount of people sign up for the service. They could have bragged about that.
Yeah, so we'll find out.
Would you sign up for it? Would you pay for it?
Yeah, I mean, you guys.
I wouldn't. Not now, I guess.
Okay.
Well, it's only because I can't stream movies very well.
Yeah, you can't. Out in the Idaho pasture here.
It's got nothing to do with their service at all. It's got everything to do with the options available here.
Do they have drive-in movies where you are still? Or
it's too cold for that. No, I don't think it's here
anymore. Jeez, I didn't even think of that. They couldn't get in there. Snowed in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
I wonder how many people out there know what a drive-in movie is.
True. Are there any left? One factor I did take note and I thought was interesting is that 6 out of the 10 most popular streaming TV shows that are out there in the past quarter were Apple TV. So I was like, whoa, are you serious? Out of everybody, out of Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus. So 6 out of 10 were most popular were from Apple TV. So something to think about.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good sign.
It is a good sign. And I think we'll find out, like you said, Mike, is once a year is up on all of us when we start to actually pay for it, we'll see. I don't know if I will. I think it's kind of costly, but it depends on the next year. But to other Apple news, we are going to talk about the iOS 13.3.1.
Yes, let's.
Well, it came out, and that's about it. There isn't much to say. I wish I could say, oh my gosh, there was so much cool stuff that came with this, not new fixes, and there were none. It improved somewhat SmartInvert, but from my reading from other people on the website, it's still a lot of problems for those with low vision with SmartInvert. So I will have to say I was shocked because we went through, what, 3 beta cycles through this and we didn't get one fix. I was like, God, what are they doing? I don't know. I'm just like, we might as well just go to iOS 14, just bring it on. What the hell? I don't know what's going on, but they came and gone.
Well, I'm really sorry to say this, but I haven't installed it yet because I honestly, my feet, when they hit the floor this morning, I haven't stopped and I just haven't had a chance. I'm glad you told us about that. So nothing exciting, interesting.
No, absolutely nothing. I mean, it has some features.
What about the watch iOS? Is that done anything? Same thing?
Same news. I mean, there's some new features, but I mean, they fixed FaceTime, screen time, you know, they fixed some major issues they have, but not one diddly accessible fix at all. So hopefully 13.4 is right around the corner and we'll be getting that. And I bet that will come out probably with the March keynote, which we'll get to. But in the meantime, speaking of Apple TV Plus, Apple was thinking about making exclusive little podcasts, original podcasts based on Apple TV Plus shows. Like, for example, A Little America is a new show. I don't think you guys may have heard that. Have you heard of the Little America shows?
No, I have not.
So Little America is a new show that's based on immigrants that's come to America to find life and citizenship as American. And so they have all these half hour shows based on different family, how they came here and why they came here and their story. And it's really intriguing, but that is one of the show that they're thinking to have an exclusive original podcast based on those, that concept of Little America. So that it's interesting that Apple would be considering having their own original podcast. We'll have to see how that works out.
All right.
I'm curious for it. It's not like, for me, this is the kind of thing that normally, it's not normally the kind of thing I would seek out, but I like sometimes making myself kind of try out new things that I wouldn't generally like. And maybe.
You're right, Mike. It's like, what is the point of this? Their point, I think they're trying to do is that you get so interested and enthralled with the podcast that I want to see the show now. I think that's the concept. That's at least what I think they're trying to do. But is that going to be enough for you, me, and Randy to say, oh, wow, I really want to see the shows now? I don't know.
Not for me. But I was kind of thinking, I kind of like that age. It kind of reminds me of Little House on the Prairie back in the 70s. And I kind of like that stuff. So I might give it a look.
I mean, you and I love podcasts. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I probably will listen to podcasts.
Do we really?
I got too many. That's my problem. But I would certainly add it if it's interesting. But yeah. Would it be enough for me to say I'm going to spend $5 for see the show, you know, the Apple TV Plus?
No.
Probably not. But It's an interesting concept and something I wanted to point out to everybody, just a heads up that Apple's going with that direction. Now, next month is a big month for the Mac users. Any Mac users out there, raise your hand because this is you. Are you on Catalina? Are you on Catalina yet there, Mike?
No.
Good for you, because stay on wherever you are. Mojave.
Yeah, dude, I can't download it anyway, so it's fine. I'm not going anywhere.
And as you said that, exactly.
Very good. I like that. Perfect timing. That was a very good timing there. So this finally, the time has come. Apple has said to everybody, February will be the month that any non-signed app that are not in the App Store needs to be notarization is required, which means that if it's signed, and that's the key word, folks, here, don't think if it's the end of the world, because I've learned some cool stuff here in the past few days. This is for signed non-App Store stuff. So if you are getting a program that is not signed, it's not going to affect you at all. This is just for signed stuff. Be honest with you, I don't know a whole lot about it. I just know that sign means that it's been verified by Apple that it's to be legit, and it's Apple, been through Apple process approved. I think that's what it means. The non-sign means that, well, you're on your own. It's your own risk. And so you don't have to. I thought at first it was going to say you can't have anything. They all have to be in the App Store, or it had to be signed. And so that isn't the case, which is great news. But if you do have a signed app that hasn't been notarized, the cool thing I heard that you can work around this, instead of just double clicking to open the app itself, you can just do a right click and then do an open, and I'll just open up just fine. Isn't that crazy to think that there's a workaround already and people are, I don't know. It wasn't as big of a deal I thought it was going to be, but just a heads up for those on Catalina that you will be seeing these kind of errors that it hasn't been notarized. So you don't have to worry about it, Mike.
I'm so glad, because right now with my setup, the fewer things that I have to worry about, the better. Because I updated my phone to the most recent thing, and it was one of those things that I had to start it and then go to bed at night.
Wow!
And then I'd wake up in the morning, and it would be done hopefully by the time I woke up. It's been a whole new world for you.
I mean, it's totally really radically different.
It absolutely is. I absolutely took for granted high-speed internet.
Boy, I don't know if I can.
It's so different now.
I've gotten so used to this high-speed, I'm not sure. I think I would be like pulling my hair out. I don't know. Or I'd be going to try to find the nearest library that has the highest Wi-Fi speed. I can download every books, every podcast, everything, and go back home.
Yeah, we kind of have to do that. We've been talking about getting an actual DVD player now again. Like, wow. There's just a lot of things. I don't know. It's it's really different. I never really thought about it. Like back at the old house when we've got all of our echoes running, you know, everything is just firing away all at the same time. Everything's great. We come here.
Not working.
No, when the guy hooks everything up, he's like, is that an echo over there? We say, yeah. He says, oh, don't hook that up. You'll be out of data in about 2 days.
It's just collecting
dust. Even if you're not talking to it.
You hear that, Randy? Well, a DVD player. A DVD player.
Yeah. We're going back in time out here. It's weird.
I'm just like, what is a DVD player?
I know. So yeah, for me, I just want stuff to work now because I don't have time to troubleshoot. I don't have time or data to troubleshoot things and have downloads fail and stuff not work after I do download it. So I'm that guy now that just sits back and looks at what everybody else is doing, waits until it works, and then I jump in.
I admire you. I don't think I would want to go back to the 80s where I would have just modem speed stuff, and I don't think I could live it with that with all my gadgets. Different. Wow. That is so wild, guys. All right, so it's now time for the guessing game. Are you ready for the guessing game, both of you?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. See, March keynote is coming up, and we all know that it's going to be March. What is it going to be called, the iPhone 9 or the iPhone SE 2? So you think they're going to call it the iPhone SE, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think just because it's familiar, and there hasn't been that many. I feel like there hasn't been enough versions of it for people to be like, oh, it's that one, like still recognizable, you know? So I kind of feel like it's, I don't know. And maybe I might be completely wrong.
So that makes perfect good sense because iPhone 9 was skipped. And it makes you wonder if they did that intentionally because they thought, well, we're going to be introducing the iPhone SE later, so let's make that iPhone 9. But nonetheless, we've been talking about this for months, beating on the drums. I think it's going to really happen, guys, because they're starting to talk about how it's going to be starting production next month, and it'll come out in March. It's still, everything's exactly the same as they've been talking about. It'll be the same form factor of the iPhone 8. So you're going to be, I don't know if you're going to be happy because you're going from a 4-inch diagonal screen to a 4.7-inch diagonal. It doesn't sound like much, but believe me, when you put it in your hand, it's going to feel a lot bigger. And I think a lot of people like their SE because it's a small factor. So you're not going to have that small factor. I'm curious if that's going to impact the SE out there if you're going to purchase a new SE, or is the new bigger factor going to be something that you don't like. So send me a jingle on that at unleash@applebiz.com. I'd be curious what you have to say. But everything is the same still. We got the LCD. You still have the Touch ID. You got the home button. And still going for the possible $399. I think that value of a price is going to be fantastic. $399. That's good. That's a good number for a phone that's going to be just as powerful and strong and as fast as the iPhone 11.
For me, that's part of the reason why if I was in charge, which there's probably a reason that I'm not, I would call it the SE because then people know, like, hey, over here is all the really expensive, like top of the top you could possibly get. And then here's this one for people who just want a phone that works.
Exactly. And cheap. And it's as fast as this guy. It's like, exactly. Wow. Why would
call it the SE. That way people know immediately, like, oh, this is the good one. Like, it still works great and it's super cheap. Mm-hmm. But if you call it the 9, then it just kind of lumps it in with the other ones. And you kind of, then people have to actually do a little work to figure out what does what. And people don't like that.
No, but I'd be curious what you all think. So we will wait until March, but I really do think it's going to happen. The other things I know, I've said this 100 times, and I don't think it's going to happen. New air power stories. Yes. They're talking about a new air power that's smaller this time. The last one, they said it was going to be this big, large pad, but they couldn't do it because of technology hurdles that was causing or preventing them from being able to make that a success. Now they're thinking about coming with a shorter version. So we'll see if those two even come up to be even true. I've already gave up on the both, so I'm not.
Right.
Nope, not going to happen. I was going to buy you both AirTags for your Christmas, but see how that happened. No,
dang it.
Yeah, maybe this Christmas come by 2020 if they come out, but no. And it's just funny that I'm even mentioning this air power. I don't know why I keep doing it, but I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Mm-hmm. To move on to, we were talking about earlier about iOS 14, and I'm going to bring this up because it makes sense to me because we had this done in iOS 12. And So people are talking about, there are talk and discussions right now that the iOS 14 is going to be able to run on the iOS that you have now. So all phones are 6S and the SEs and up will be able to run iOS 14. So nothing has changed, which is wow.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Isn't it? What's weird about it, Mike, is that even though none of the phones, all the phones that are now running iOS 13 can be able to run iOS 14, but that's not the same case for the iPads. For some reason, the iPad Mini 4 and the iPad Air 2 will not be supported anymore. And that makes me wonder if the actual iPad OS is going to be kind of a bigger update than the iOS itself.
I imagine that there's probably some kind of a significant enough of a change that's forcing that out, because I don't think that they always necessarily do it on purpose. I mean, they probably, maybe there's a little bit of that too. They're standing around thinking, hey, these iPads aren't moving like we want them to. Let's drop off those last couple.
That's a good point.
Because iPads last longer than phones for sure.
Yeah.
Onto those significantly longer.
I hadn't thought about that. You're right. I mean, I just was just saying how iPad sales have been diving each year. And so obviously they want to dip off. It's all strategy, folks. I mean, it makes sense to me, but the point is that the iOS 14 is going to run on any device that run iOS 13 when it comes to phones. And that means we're probably going to have a kind of a ho-hum release and focus on bugs, which we badly needed, but I don't know. I don't think I like this cycle. 1 year we have this really crappy release, iOS 13, ton of bugs, and we don't get it fixed until the next version. I hate that, because this means that 15 is going to suck, and then 16 is going to be great, 17 is going to suck, 18. I don't like this cycle. I really don't like this new cycle they're going through. That's just my two cents.
Well, according to everything that I have seen on YouTube, we are going to be stable from here on forward. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't like this cycle either.
Anytime, I don't know. That's one of those statements that just make me wonder. Like, did you guys see Elon Musk with his, a couple months ago now, with his, those windows that never break? They're doing a big demonstration and this guy got up and like threw, I don't even know what it was that he threw at this window, but the window shatters. He's like, huh.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Fix that in post. That's not supposed to happen. It's like anytime I hear people say, like, it'll never happen again, I'm like, yeah, until it does.
Well, famous last words. Yeah, you know, you're right. He did a demonstration about his new Tesla truck and how it was bulletproof windows. And he took a steel ball and threw at it, and it broke.
And it broke.
Bulletproof, yes.
I love how he handled it, though. He was like, that's weird. He didn't do that like last time we tried it. And then he kind of like, if they try it again and the other one breaks, you're like, well, we'll just fix it in post. And then press on. That's awesome.
Oh, man. Well, let's hope that I'm wrong and that iOS 14 will bring some new features and that it will be an interesting iOS year. I really hope so. But it's great news for those people out there, which I'm kind of shocked, because if they're going to introduce this iPhone SE 2, why would I purchase a new iPhone SE 2 if my SE is going to work just fine with iOS 14? So it just doesn't. It's just not making any sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense to me either.
Hmm. Well, on to other news in Apple Viz this month. Really, we haven't had a whole lot of new app submission this month to say, wow, I've got to try this out. But just a few days ago, though, I listened to a podcast that Jonathan Mosen put on, and he reviewed an app called Castro Podcast Player. And you know, I have been a huge
Castor Oil Podcast Player.
Yeah, Castro Oil. This is Castro.
You must run to get it. Sorry.
This has been sponsored by the Castro Oil of Valvoline. But it's called Castro Podcast Player. So I have always used Downcast for the longest time, and then I've been using a huge Overcast user for a long time. And so I listened to it, and I've been playing with it for the past week, and I will tell you, I absolutely love this player. It is not as simple as Overcast. It does offer all the features that Overcast does, and then some. I think for those that are starting out and don't want something that's too complicated, want something really simple, and it's free, I think Overcast is beautiful. I think you should stick with it.
Yeah, I usually like really easy things.
You can like tell, easy things, huh?
No, you can tell by that statement that I really love Overcast. But anyway, we digress.
Well, okay, so what do you like about Overcast? Let me ask you.
What do I love about it? I love the effects part of it and everything that goes with that portion of it. And I like to share the sound clips portion of it. And I've been using it for years, and I love it. So I'm serious about this now. Why would I want to switch?
That's a great question. And a lot of people are going to say that same thing, because the cons part of Castro is that it costs $2.99 a month, or I think it's $18.99 a year. So it's a subscription base.
Oh, it's a subscription base. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I hate it already.
They do have a free trial. I know that lost you, didn't it?
Yeah.
Subscription, forget it. It do have a free version. It isn't as robust as Overcast. The reason I stuck with Castro was a couple of reasons. It does offer all the features. Plus, I think it has a better enhanced level, which means that it will take a cast or anything that you have in MP3 and levelize it. So it's all normalized, it's been compressed, and it sounds gorgeous. It sounds all even to me. It's to my ears. Some shows are harder to hear because it isn't recorded right. Or
so it would game. Make me sound really, really good, do you think, then, Tom?
Yes, I really do. It would make you sound like, oh, my glob, I'm buying this. Exactly. Gotta get this. I gotta hear my Randy in this better voice.
Oh man!
And it sounds good. No, you gotta try.
I think
I'm gonna do a demo on it, and I'm gonna show everybody. It is not going to be for everyone, but I was.
Oh, the heck with that! Just gift it to me, Tom. I'll be satisfied.
I'll just gift it to you for 1 year subscription, a lifetime.
Boy,
so
don't we? We love ourselves here, don't we?
I just love you so much.
Okay, shall we gift it to me?
I mean, he did say it in that text message the other day.
That's true.
Yes, see, he did. I called him out on that, by the way.
I read twice and I was like, I just shrugged it off like, okay.
I love you guys. And I said, Thomas, what are you saying to us anyway?
Okay. So the listeners out there. So what happened was I was sending a Siri comment. And here goes the Siri butchering my words again. What I said is that I left you both a message. And it says, it came out as, I love you both for the message.
When I first read that, I cried openly, Tom.
I was like, how did you get love for I left?
But why did you send that?
Lazy.
Okay.
Right. I'll be honest. The hell with it. They know
every time Siri butchers mine, I just send them anyway.
I just send it. They love me too.
Really quick, speaking of podcasts, I have a question for you guys as listeners and you two about podcasts, like mainstream podcasts being bought by companies like Spotify and being made exclusively only via the Spotify app.
Well, that's exactly what I was mentioning about the Apple exclusive podcast that probably mm-hmm. going to be exclusive to Apple Music. And so
yeah,
in the same game. I don't like it.
Right. I don't either. Really don't. Honestly, I don't listen to them. I don't.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not going to listen to it because of that fact. If you are going to exclusively put podcasts on different brand, forget it. I can't afford everything, then watch me.
Yeah, I'm in a conundrum now because one of my favorite podcasts that I've been a patron for a while now is moving exclusively to Spotify.
Wow.
When you said moving, I thought you were going to say forward, and I thought, oh, no, is accessibility moving forward over maybe on their platform now?
Did Spotify buy them too?
Bummer, man. You've been listening to this podcast forever and ever, and they're going to make it exclusively just for Spotify users, huh?
Yep.
Wow.
We've been doing it since, oh, gosh, it's been, I don't even know how long it's been.
Let me ask you a question then. But since you can get a free version of Spotify with ads, I'm wondering, can you get the podcast?
I mean, yeah, but it's one of those, it bugs me because it's one of these kind of podcasts that's been like, hey, we're small business, we hate the corporations, like, you know, kind of independent, and it's just kind of,
yeah, now you have to get to a Spotify app instead of Overcast or Castro. You won't be able to use it on there because you have to go to all the different apps. Kind of like what I do now. It's like I have to watch this movie off of Disney Plus, and I have to go over here from Netflix watch this.
Yes, that's the future. That I mean, with the Apple thing, that's the future we're looking at. Is just corporate America, corporate whatever country you want is realizing that podcasts are actually a thing now and they're starting to scoop them up.
Well, it sounds like you and I are in the same boat. It's a turnoff. It means that...
Yes, I hate it.
You are trying to say, hey, maybe if we put this exclusive on Spotify, we will become... you'll be one of our clientele that pay for it. You know what? You're doing the opposite.
Yeah, I'm absolutely not paying. I'm not going to pay for Spotify.
It's kind of like Howard Stern, right? Because he used to be on radio and then it went exclusively to Sirius XM, and you can only get him on that show. And you know, Sirius XM is not cheap, guys. It's what, $20?
And that's why you got people like me who sit here and I hear that name and I go, I know that name, but I couldn't tell you anything about that dude.
Yeah.
Never even looked into him, just because I'm like, oh, that's one of those guys I just don't know about.
I can say a lot of things about him, but he was definitely ahead of his time. I mean, he went first with exclusive stuff, but don't. Obviously, all these podcasts like us, we're small fries, and we're never going to be going anywhere big and exclusive like that. But I mean,
ever.
But
I don't want that.
It is affecting Mike because his podcast is on there. I hope one of my podcasts isn't on there. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, I need to go shut my Patreon subscription down.
Man, especially where you are, like you said, I mean, it's going to be hurtful for you because you don't have much of a internet access. So that really hampers a lot of things that you want to get. But then we're going to wind up with some tips. I understand Mr. Randy has a tip for us. What is your tip, big boy?
Yeah, this has nothing to do with anything. So
it's not even a tip or advice or nothing?
No.
We're just going to listen to you.
Yeah, I'll just talk and you guys just carry on amongst yourselves. Don't pay any attention to this. There's a skill that has been around on Amazon for a while, and I know you guys like it when we throw these little bits in here. I just found out now, and this has been kind of ongoing since September, and I never have got it working now, but finally they've got the skill fixed for the Ring doorbell. So what I'm saying is that in my estimation, the Ring doorbell app is pretty clunky on the phone and you kind of can get it to work. But by the time that you get to the talk button, people have left your house or they've robbed you, you know?
Okay.
No way.
You're not going to tell me it's accessible on the A-Lady.
Oh, yes, I am. And that has nothing to do with the show or the spot, which are the devices that have the screen. You can now say to your A-Lady, is the word view or no? open. Okay, not open front door, but which would be a poor choice of words, but you get the idea. So check front door or what's the word that I use?
I imagine it's the name of the device you gave it. So I say, yes, hey, lady, check my front door on my Ring.
Yeah, you just say check my front door, basically, and it does it.
And you can talk to them.
Yep.
Wow.
And not only does it do that. Oh no, it's listen to front door. Listen to front door. Yep. Listen to front door. And it does it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And I found out this. I thought, you know, how cool is that? It just started working for me yesterday. And I want to thank Bill Tillery, my podcast host, co-host on Accessibility Moving Forward. Listen to him. But it works, and not only does it work, but on my Fire TV, it will, if you can see, it will show you the picture, and it will work. And I know this because if you press, there's a talk button on the remote control that you can use to talk to the Fire TV, and if you hit that button, if you're watching your front door, or in our case, you know, listening to the front door, if you just click the button, it'll say, please hold button down to speak, and it gives another little tone, like, you know, a different one, so you know something else is going on. It works, and it works with, like, the sound bars and everything. It's just awesome, you guys.
Randy, that's an awesome tip, because I tell you about, I would say about 6 or 8 months ago, I tried to do it, and you can't do it on these spots or echo. It had to be with the one with the screen.
Not anymore.
That is huge news. I did not know that.
That's awesome.
That's a wonderful tip. I love that.
Is that worth keeping me around on this cast now?
One more month. It bought you another month.
Oh, God, thanks.
1 month extension.
Oh, my glob. I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm. that bought you one more month.
No, what's even cooler, I haven't tried this exactly now, but I have an MMGG device, which the Echo third generation fits into, so you can take it with you on the go for battery as long as you're near a Wi-Fi connection. So it's got a battery pack and speaker built in. It makes the third generation Echo sound just awesome. So if you're on a Wi-Fi network, why couldn't I check my front door and talk to people when I'm in another, like in my work area or some other area? And you, I bet you can.
How does that work? So you have to download the Ring skill?
Yes, you do. And I'm thank you for pointing that out, because you don't want to look for the Ring doorbell skill, because if you look for Ring doorbell, it's a different skill. So you want to look for the Ring skill.
That's different. And the Ring skill, you just have to sign in with your credentials and boom, you're on.
Well, you have to link your once you link one device, then your devices are linked up with the account.
Excellent.
Yep.
Love that.
Cool.
Well, my tip isn't as cool as yours, but I will at least do that. I did a podcast on this the other day for those out there that want to try to preserve your cell data usage. There's a new feature that came out with iOS 13. If you haven't been familiar with the low data mode, which is allows you to kick on. If you're one of those people that don't have the unlimited package where you have unlimited cell data service. So if you have a certain amount of bandwidth or cell data you can use in a single period or a month, check that out, because it will help you bring down that data usage every month and will be beneficial to you. You just simply go to settings, go under cellular, and go under the cell data option. Go in there and turn on the low data mode, because once that's on, it will tell all the apps not to use any data unless you tell it to. So in other words, if I went to mail, I'll obviously be able to update mail, but it isn't going to refresh it to you. So that's the only caveat, is that the text message and the phone will still work, but you will not get any notifications like weather or anything like that, because you have that mode on. But that's the whole point, is that you're trying to reserve your last remaining data. Mm-hmm. So that's a device for you out there. And my last tip and advice for those with Apple Watch, you know, this is like the Force Touch on your iPhones that people just don't realize is there. And I keep forgetting that you can do that with the Apple Watch. And one of the things that people ask is, you know, is there a way to clear all the notifications at once instead of having to clear it one by one?
Yes. I don't know. Is there? Really?
There is. It's hidden. It's like most other apps I've found that you got to do a Force Touch. So when you're in the notification center, just do a Force Touch, and there'll be options to clear all.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yes. And so they hide these things all the time. And it's kind of like when I was using Chirp for Twitter. If I want to send a message or a direct message, you have to do a Force Touch. There isn't just a button. You have to, I guess it's for real estate purposes on watch, but it's just ironic that they're dumping that technology on the iPhone. So you will forget that it's even existing on that watch, and they still use it. So yeah, just do a Force Touch on the center and you get the option to clear all. That's
I love that.
Because I was clearing them one by one. I was like, this is
ridiculous.
Yeah, I did the same thing for a really long time.
Oh, I was like, oh my gosh, there's got to be an easier way. But I hope that helps everyone out there.
Oh, it helped me. I don't, you know, it really did.
You need a lot of help.
Especially today.
Well, you know, that senior plan and all that. You were just asking for it. Yeah.
Oh, of course. I always do.
Well, you know, I love you guys. I mean, I left you two a message. Well, I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, thanks for listening. I really appreciate you guys doing that. We love doing the cast.
So this has been Mike Malarcy, Randy Reschnack, and myself, Thomas Donville, also known as Anonymous. Until next month, guys, see you later. Bye-bye.
This AppleVis podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleVis.com for the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple. www.AppleVis.com.